Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A lot to talk about before we get to Monday Night Raw. The very first thing, of course, is that from now on, WWE shows will be live. They'll be taped at the, at the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. And this is due to the fact that the governor has declared the WWE is an essential business. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I am all for business. I'm not even really too much for this shutdown. I'll be honest with you. I find this shutdown a little odd. I mean, if you can sell shoes in Walmart and you can't sell shoes in your own store, if you own a mom and pop store, that's a little weird. I'm not 100% for this shutdown, at least not all of it. But by no stretch of the imagination, and I don't care how big of a wrestling fan you are, by no stretch of anyone's imagination is the WWE an essential business. It doesn't pass the laugh test. It's clearly biased. It's clearly, clearly a case of favoritism. I don't want to say bribery, but I don't know what else would possess someone. I want you to think about it for a minute. Professional wrestling is an essential business. Meanwhile, if you own a hair salon, meanwhile, if you are a massage therapist, meanwhile, if you own a cigar shop, meanwhile, if you own a video game store, comic book shop, you're closed. How do I pay my rent? I don't know. We're going to send you money in the mail. You're just going to have to deal with it. What happens if people stop coming to my store? My landlord's still going to want his rent. My landlord's still going to want, you know, me to honor my lease. We don't know. Vince McMahon, that's essential business. It's essential that we watch Nia Jax squash Kairi Sane. That's essential. Without that, the world can't operate. Without that, things come to a halt. I mean, are you kidding me? So the message being sent here, folks, is very clear now. And that is that if the WWE, and I know they take all kinds of precautions and they don't have an audience, still a lot of people in that building. If the WWE can hold their shows live, then I'm sorry, but if you own a small business, you should go back to work. Just go back to work. Limit the amount of people that come in your store. Maybe you want to put one of those plastic guards down so that you don't get contact with them if they cough or something. Go back to work. And if they fine you, take it to the Supreme Court of the United States if you have to, because if the WWE is an essential business, then by God, anything that you have to offer could be. I can't walk without shoes. What happens if my shoes break? What am I supposed to do? What happens if my shoes come apart? I have to go buy shoes. I can't live without a video game. That's entertainment. Without entertainment, then I won't have my mind in the right spot. There are people who are addicted to cigarettes and cigars. Well, they're going to go crazy without them. You need a cigar shop open. There are people who legitimately need, massage therapy. How come they can't have it? This is obscene. It's obscene, and it has to be the absolute worst optic for the WWE in the history of the sport. I thought the Saudi Arabia thing was bad. This is worse. And by the way, everyone in the back, all the workers, they don't want to do this. And let me explain to you why they don't want to do it. Let me give you a great example in Daniel Bryan. Here's Daniel Bryan with a pregnant wife. He gets done with WrestleMania, and he says, okay, after WrestleMania, I can't go home because I can't take that chance. So I'm going to put myself in self-isolation for 14 days. I won't be able to see my wife or my kid, my pregnant wife or my kid for 14 days. Now here comes the announcement. Hey, Daniel, you're going to be expected to show up at the Performance Center, which means that you won't be seeing your wife for another 14 days because you're going to have to start that cycle all over again. And, oh, by the way, next week you might have to be there. So that'll be another 14 days. So technically speaking, if this continues through the month of May, there's a good chance he will not see his wife for 45 days. Why, you ask? Because he's an essential worker. He's right up there with the doctors, the mail carriers, the police officers, the people who are delivering your groceries, the pharmacists. And what is his contribution, you ask? Well, he fights guys in a ring so people can watch and be entertained. Well, then I could make that argument about anything. I'm entertained by watching many things other than wrestling. How come they can't operate? This is baloney. And this is going to bite the WWE in the ass like nothing ever before. And it comes at a very bad time for the WWE, folks. A very bad time. Because Vince McMahon filed for bankruptcy on behalf of the XFL the other day. And when you file for bankruptcy, you have to disclose the true ownership of this company. And Vince McMahon had told all of his stockholders and everyone who would listen that is a totally separate entity from the WWE. That, yes, Vince McMahon himself does own it, but it's a totally different entity from the WWE. The WWE has nothing to do with it. He took his own money, bought something. It would be the equivalent of you saying, I own a McDonald's, and I'm going to go buy a comic book shop. But the McDonald's doesn't have anything to do with the comic book shop. I'm just going to go buy a second business. You're allowed to do that. You can buy 50 businesses if that's what you want. But if you're going to take McDonald's money out of it, you got to let people know. Well, Vince McMahon said, no, 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 no. The WWE has nothing to do with this. This is totally a Vince McMahon funded thing. I might have cashed in my stocks in WWE and got my money, but that's my right. That's his money. Well, guess what? In the actual bankruptcy paperwork, 28% of the XFL is owned by the WWE. Not Vince McMahon, the WWE. So here's another horror show. Because now, if you are a stockholder, you're flat out lied to. Flat out lied to. And the situation is becoming desperate in the sense of this. Strip away all of the wonderful talent that you have. Strip away the storylines and the pomp and circumstance and the video games and the lunchboxes and all the cool stuff that comes with professional wrestling. Strip that all away for a minute, and what you end up having is a really, really unsavory business who's masquerading as a very above-board, all-American business. It just isn't. And now we're learning how the hot dog is made, and this is really starting to bother me. I'm very upset about this being declared an essential business. When Vince McMahon and company decide that they're going to hand out food to people desperately in need of it, medical care to people who are desperately in need of it, keep law and order in the streets when there's a time when it could potentially reach a bad situation, drive trucks filled with supplies or food to supermarkets, deliver the mail so everybody can get together, or fix the power line so that everyone has electricity, or run an ambulance. Then you're an essential worker. When you get in the ring like Nia Jax and put about 1/8 of an effort into squashing a woman, don't even break a sweat, because why should I? You're not an essential worker. You're an entertainer. That's the end of it. And by the way, that's the end of it in all professional wrestling. You're an entertainer. That's what you do. You're not a fighter. Get that out of your head. It's time somebody slapped that out of people's heads. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't care if you could get into a UFC ring and destroy everyone in it. If you're in wrestling, you're not a fighter. It's not your job description. It's not what you do. You entertain. You're an entertainer. Entertainers are not essential. Productions on movies has stopped. On closed sets, by the way. And the likelihood, and I don't wish it, believe me. I've never, ever usually wish I'm wrong. This time I hope and pray I'm wrong. But the likelihood of continuing to do live shows and no one getting sick is very, very small. Very small. And when that happens, and inevitably it probably will, someone's going to ask the question of the governor of Florida. Someone's going to ask the question of Vince McMahon, was this worth this? Now, I'm telling you right now, I understand completely that the quote-unquote survival rate for this is 98.6, and I got news for you. It's a lot higher than that. Because if you got 10,000, 100,000 people walking around asymptomatic who are never going to get sick, so they're never going to be in danger of losing their life, then add them to that total, and it goes to about probably 99.2. But that's not the point. Okay, so maybe somebody gets sick and they recover. Point is, you don't know who they live with. You don't know who they've been in contact with. You don't know who they may have affected that won't get better because they have a compromised immune system, because they have diabetes, or they underwent treatments for this, that, or a respiratory problem, or an underlying issue that they don't even know they have. How about if Roman Reigns' leukemia didn't come back? Yet. How about if everything was great and he did WrestleMania and everything was good and rosy and we didn't know anything about anything, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, his leukemia came back, he has a compromised immune system, and he's been subjected to the coronavirus. How about that? Can't have this. So it's going to be very hard for me to separate the show today because I have to actually rate a show that I don't think should have taken place, at least in the way it took place, which is live. So I have to separate it, and I have to say I have to do it just on its entertainment value. Wrestling, I can't worry about the fact that it never should have happened because it already happened. But I wanted to preface this show by saying this should not be happening. Absolutely should not be happening. Mike, what's your thoughts?
Absolutely right. You know, think about this, and I've said it before. NWA Power has handled this exactly the way you wanted it to be handled. In some respects, AEW, even though they did do tapings, handle it a lot better than the WWE has handled it, you know. So, yeah, the WWE is in trouble. And we've said that for a while for other reasons, but the WWE is in trouble, and in trouble big. I mean, there are a number of other people. I mean, The Miz had to go away for a couple of days, you know.
Well,
and he couldn't go home.
According to them, he's back next week, so apparently the 14 days has passed and he's fine. My point is this. In a time where the government is telling mom-and-pop businesses, and even some not mom-and-pop businesses who employ hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, you're not essential workers. So, unfortunately, you have to close down. I don't know how you're going to pay your rent. I don't know how you're going to put groceries on the table and keep the lights on. I don't know. We'll send you a little money. During that time, the WWE has been declared an essential business that can operate as long as they just don't have fans in attendance. You don't think that's a bad optic? You don't think that's a horrible optic? Now let's add to it XFL is owned strictly by Vince McMahon and some shareholders or whatever, but WWE has zero to do with this. Don't worry, stockholders. None of your money's being pulled out. None of the WWE's money being pulled out. The business that you invested in has nothing to do with XFL. Wrong. Now that he's filed bankruptcy, we see they own 25% or more of it. That's going to sit really well. They actually had a lawsuit where I think it was a fire company or something was that invested was saying this all along. No, that's not true. The WWE's got their hooks in the XFL. And we want to know as shareholders, we want full disclosure of it. And they lost that case. And Vince McMahon said, oh, no such thing. Well, you filed for bankruptcy and you lied. And they'll come up with some excuse. Well, technically, it's not. They've got a million and one lawyers to spin this, so it sounds like they didn't lie. The word, the bottom line is they lied. The Saudi Arabia's money to it doesn't matter that they're chopping people up and putting them in briefcases in the Turkish embassy. I don't know. I guess I've just had enough of this. This is the absolute definition of an elitist attitude. Do as I say, not as I do. Peons, whose job is closed down, the peons who have a mom and pop shop struggling to survive, get in your hovels, lock the doors, wash your hands, wear a mask when you're getting food, and don't ask when we're reopening things. Vince McMahon and company, the world is your oyster, my friend. Because you're essential. Without you, I don't know how we'd all survive. This is awful. And it's done something I thought that would be impossible to have happen, and it's made me lose my taste for professional wrestling. Because this is so egregious and so ridiculous and so obviously, blatantly, right in your face, F you. It's one thing if the governor had said, look, you're not an essential business. If you follow these ridiculously strict guidelines and only have a certain amount of people in the building and we have, you have your own medical team there who does this and that and the other thing, we will consent to let you do, it's not really a live show without a crowd, so we will consent to let you tape it live as long as when those people leave the ring, they leave the building, the next people come in, and that's the way you do it. You keep people totally separate, but we're not going to declare you an essential business and essential workers. We can't go that far. We'll say we're making an exception here because of the unusual circumstances. In the fact that you own the building, some people train and live there, I guess, and because of that. But here's what the thing is, the travel, the back and forth, the back and forth, the back and forth. What about that? I thought we're all told to stay home. Then they all should be told you have to stay right there. Now, I was told, well, they got a hotel, and they took over a whole entire hotel. And all the workers are staying there, period, end of conversation. Okay, well. That's fine, but what about the hotel staff? What about the maids who have to come in and clean the rooms? What about all of those people? You're not just affecting a couple of professional wrestlers. How do you know the maid that comes in and cleans the room isn't some 65-year-old woman with a respiratory issue? How do you know that? Well, we're willing to take the chance because we're an essential business. Come on. Even if this thing is overblown, and truthfully, it probably is. I mean, let's just be rational about this. Walmart is open. You hear horror stories. Well, 5, 6, 7 people have been diagnosed as having COVID in Walmart. Employees. Yeah, and there's how many people in the building? 300 employees and 5,000 people a day? That's a relatively low number. So is it overblown? It probably is. But what's good for one is good for the other. That's the thing. Whether it's overblown or it isn't, we can argue. That has nothing to do with wrestling. What I can tell you is this. You can't pick favorites. You can't say you can go on with business as usual. You cannot. The only time you can do that is obviously you can't close food stores. Where's people going to get food? Obviously, you can't close the post offices. Obviously, you can't close hospitals and doctor's offices and things. People need their appointments. Those are the obvious ones you can't close. But I love how they say, well, you can go to the drive-thru at Burger King. It's okay. Well, why is that okay? How do I know anybody in there isn't infected? How do I know the workers aren't infected? How do I know what they're doing in their personal life? Hmm? How do I know they're not in the park playing basketball and then they come to work all sweaty? How do I know the guy wrapping my sandwich is really wearing gloves or he didn't wear gloves for five other sandwiches he wrapped or touched a million things? How do I know? And yet, that's no problem. WWE can go on live. Their people can travel if they need to. That's just spiffy. Fantastic. It's bullshit. Everybody knows it. It's Vince McMahon flexing his muscles, saying, I do what I want to do. I wonder how Dana White feels about this. I wonder now if, Tony Khan is going to say, well, then I guess we're an essential business. What's the difference? We do the same thing. Right? Unbelievable. Anyway, the WWE's in enough trouble because I guarantee you now the people who filed that lawsuit saying that the WWE was pulling money out of that company for the XFL and now have been proven correct are going to refile a lawsuit. The shit's going to hit the proverbial fan here. But anyway, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. And I'm going to try to be impartial here. And I'm going to try to, forget that the show shouldn't have taken place as it did. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't have taken place. If you taped a month's worth and this was the show, or 2 months' worth and this was the show, that's fine. Because then everybody can go home, 6 weeks. And do what everybody's supposed to be doing. What I'm doing. How come I'm doing this? I'm essential to some people. How come I can't go do what I want to do? Anyway, Drew McIntyre starts off the show, cuts a pretty good promo, and we get the sense of what this whole Raw is going to be about, and that is the qualifying matches for Money in the Bank that may or may not, I guess now it will happen. They're essential workers, so they can do what they want. So apparently the pay-per-view will happen. It probably won't have a crowd, but they don't care. So we're going to get a bunch of qualifying matches, and we're going to get Andrade versus Drew McIntyre. Now, this is especially interesting if you're a big wrestling fan, because if you are, you already know the history between Andrade and Drew McIntyre that led to Drew McIntyre's unfortunate injury in NXT, the loss of his title in NXT, and him being put on the shelf for 6 months. And the WWE, to their credit, didn't say, oh no, when they come up to the WWE, we wipe their slate clean. These guys never talked to each other before. No, they actually played it up and said, hey, the last time Andrade was in a ring with Drew McIntyre, not only did Drew McIntyre lose his title, he was put out for 6 months. And Zelina Vega, in a subsequent interview, played that up too and said, I'm sure you remember what happened the last time you stepped in the ring with Andrade. So on the surface, it sounded like a pretty good show. You're going to have a pretty damn good main event in Andrade versus Drew McIntyre. You've got some qualifiers for the Money in the Bank ladder match, both on the women's division and the men's division. And a couple of interesting matches thrown in for good measure, Todd. So as it started, it seemed like it had a lot of promise.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Drew McIntyre came out, he said, I'll put this belt up against anybody to challenge me for the WWE Championship. Then next thing you know, you see Andrade and Selena Vega came out, and Andrade, surprisingly, I seen him use the mic quite a bit last night.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I know. Andrade's, I think they finally figured this out. I mean, I think it lit a fire under Andrade's ass, because, that was the one thing that Vince McMahon had said was, I like Andrade, he needs to learn the language a little bit more. And I think Andretti was saying, I'll do it at my pace. And then along came Angel Garza, who uses the microphone really good, and he's, I better pick the pace up before Garza just takes my spot. Because he certainly is getting a little more mic time. He's certainly doing a little better. But, Mike, I was impressed with the fact, at least, that they hearkened back to NXT history and admitted that Drew McIntyre and Andretti had faced each other before and that Drew had come out on the short end of that stick.
Right, and you hardly ever see this, hardly do this. They don't – when they come up from NXT, it's like you said, they wipe the slate clean, and it's like you're starting over again, you know? And it –
yeah.
They should do more of this stuff. I mean, yeah, they kind of somewhat did it when Kevin Owens come up and he won the U.S. Championship or whatever it was. But they don't do it all that often, you know, and they should. And look, here's the deal. I just want to mention one other thing about what you were talking about earlier. AEW is handling much better because – from what I understand, and you've said this, they have shows in the can ready to play
yep.
so that their guys can go home, right?
Yes, they have said they have suspended all taping for now. They have shows in the can. They're going to run those. Absolutely. And initially, it was AEW that wasn't handling it well. Initially, it was AEW who said, no, we're just going to go through and do these shows, and we don't care. But then when push came to shove, they actually did a better job. So what do we get for the first match? We get Asuka versus Ruby Riott in a qualifying match. Well, certainly on paper, this is a really good match. And even not on paper, last night they put on a really good match. If I have any problem with it, it's this. You're lopsiding your Money in the Bank matches. It's like Asuka has to take on Ruby Riott. Well, that is a main event match. Those are two definite major women's competitors, both deserving of a Money in the Bank slot. But then later on, you're just going to throw people together. You're like, well, why is that person got it? Why are they even in it? Somebody's got to take on Apollo Crews. MVP takes on Apollo Crews. So Apollo Crews is going to get in it. What the hell is Apollo Crews? Has he ever done to make us think he deserves a Money in the Bank opportunity or MVP? Why is MVP's name in this? That doesn't even make any sense. So how do you do these lopsided matches? Shayna Baszler is taking on Sarah Logan because Sarah Logan has done what? So let's see who has an easier road. I mean, how would you like to be in that bracket? And you say, hey, Asuka, let's say wrestling was legit. Hey, Asuka, you're taking on Ruby Riott. Sarah Logan is going to be fed to Shayna Baszler so she can be guaranteed to be in it. Wow. There's a lopsided bracket, huh? I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I think you gave away a match that you probably shouldn't have in Asuka and Ruby Riott anyway. But a very, very strong match. Obviously, Vince McMahon and company have decided that they see the same thing in Asuka that we have recently, and that is she really does seem to have a passion for this, and she really does seem to be having fun and enjoying herself. And she does seem to be getting over in a different way than that old Asuka character that she had in NXT. Because they've given her some impressive wins. Pretty impressive win, Ruby Riott. She just came back. You know they want to try to promote her a little bit. And yet, she taps her out. So good for Asuka. I mean, listen, Asuka being in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match is important, probably more important than Ruby Riott, but I would like to have seen them both in it. I really would. So I don't know how many from each side is going to get their opportunity, but could you have thrown Ruby Riott somebody so she got into it as well? You know, you could have thrown Asuka somebody else, right? But all in all, pretty good match, Mike. I thought they did quite a good job. And again, it reminded me how good Ruby Riott really is.
Yeah, it really did, and look, there was some false finishes. I mean, she went for the ride kick, and Asuka turns it into an ankle lock or whatever it was. Now she didn't win it with that move, but yeah, And look, here's the deal with Asuka. I have my YouTube account set to get notifications every time she does a video. I've got a new notification. She did another video on her site again, and I watched it. And hey, again, we've said it about her. In those videos. She's got something about her that just translates in those videos. And I guess they're playing it up now, you know.
Yeah, you know, what's it called, like Kana-chan TV or some such thing? Yeah, the thing about it that's funny is it's very, very rare in wrestling that your actual personality is better than your image. Usually it's like, well, we've given you this image because your personality is not so great. You're not very charismatic. So here, be this character because you'll be better. She's actually better by herself. She's actually better just being herself. She's way more charismatic just being herself. I'm surprised people didn't figure that out sooner. Anyway, she gets in. Good match. Solid match. Got no problem with that. The only thing I do say, again, is that if you really want to make this fair, I'm not sure you can give Shayna Baszler Sarah Logan and give Asuka Ruby Riott. I mean, wow, that's... We then get Aleister Black versus Oney Lorcan. And I know Aleister Black knows Oney Lorcan very well and respects Oney Lorcan and wanted to give Oney Lorcan plenty of offense to show, you know, I know who this guy is. We've worked together in NXT. I appreciate and I respect that. But if you're going to let him beat the hell out of Bobby Lashley and he has a really, 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 really hard time with Oney Lorcan, how does that make Bobby Lashley look? Now, Oney Lorcan gave him hell. Bobby Lashley, nah, so much. Okay. Well, then why are we invested in Bobby Lashley? So really, to be honest with you, Aleister Black, who's going next week to qualify against, Austin Theory, he needed to take out Oney Lorcan pretty easily, and that did not happen. And the danger with that is if you give us mixed messages about Aleister Black, well, he's in tough no matter who he's in there with. It's a struggle, but he wins. He always wins, but nothing's coming easy for him. You run the risk of saying, well, then he shouldn't be able to beat the top guys. If Oney Lorcan, who just showed up last week, gives him hell, then I really don't know how you expect me to believe he's going to beat Seth Rollins, who's beaten Brock Lesnar 3 times. See, that's where the problem comes in. So you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. And I honestly think he might have gave Oney Lorcan a little bit too much offense, Mike. Let me go to Todd. I think that obviously he's got to win. But in this kind of situation, qualifying next week, going up against Austin Theory, he's kind of got to take Oney Lorcan out reasonably easily.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Oney Lorcan, that guy from NXT, he gave Aleister Black a pretty good offense there last night. A lot of fake finishes, too. And like you said, it's when he beat Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, it made it look easy. It made Bobby Lashley look weak and stupid.
He had an easier time with Bobby Lashley than Oney Lorcan. And I'm not saying that Oney Lorcan isn't better than Bobby Lashley. He is. He absolutely is a better wrestler but he's not being booked as a better wrestler. So that's what you got to understand. It's not about who really is a better competitor. It's about how they're being booked. So that's a problem, Mike.
It really is. And here's another thing to think about. Oney Lorcan is primarily a tag team guy, right?
Yep.
And so usually, you know, you don't let a tag team guy have his way. And I don't say have his way, but have that much offense against a guy you're trying to promote as a singles guy.
I agree. Normally I don't know why that was, other than, you know, maybe Aleister Black and him are friends. He wanted to make him look impressive. I get it. And I respect it. You can't send these kind of mixed signals with booking. You can't say, Seth Rollins has beaten Brock Lesnar 3 times. That's how tough Seth Rollins is. And then, oh, well, Seth Rollins lost to Curt Hawkins. Well, you can't do it. Because then it sends all kinds of mixed signals of what are we talking about here? Who is there a pecking order at all? Should you can't have it. Should have been a much quicker, less contested match. Especially since he's going up against Austin Theory, who really hasn't had anything special happen either. I mean, we all know Austin Theory is not winning. We all know Aleister Black's going to be in this Money in the Bank match. And by the way, why is it Austin Theory and not Angel Garza? Well, some people have written to me and asked me that. Why would they do that, Marcus? Isn't Garza the guy? You said Garza's the guy? Yeah, Garza is the guy. And that's why it's not Garza. Because they know that Aleister Black is winning and they don't want Garza to lose. And they're perfectly right in doing it. Because I don't want Garza to lose either. Because out of the three, and they're starting to form that faction, not AAA as in the AAA, Austin Theory, Angel Garza, Andrade, all three beginning with an A. So they're starting to form that AAA, so to speak, faction. And it's working. It's working. Now, Austin Theory takes on Akira Tozawa. Then at the end, after Theory takes him out, we see the other two guys come out, and they basically do what crippled McIntyre for 6 months. That was good. These guys are a legitimate faction. Austin Theory doesn't belong in it for a couple of reasons. One is he's not Latin American, but I get it, I guess. And to be honest, you could do something with these guys. And I hope they do. I hope they just don't throw this to the wolves and say, oh no, the first good person they fight is going to take all three of them out and that'll be it. I hope that's not what they do. Decent match. There's nothing really to talk about here, so we'll move on. And we'll move on to Angel Garza, because I believe Garza came up next against another NXT guy. And here's probably the smart thing they did. Angel Garza, we have said since he made his debut, his strength is that he plays to the audience perfectly. His psychology, his in-ring work plays to the crowd. He's very good at feeding off the crowd and giving back. Very good. Maybe one of the best I've seen in a long, long time. There's no crowd. So it's much harder for him to do that. So now he's doing it with the camera. He's trying to play off the camera as much as possible. They planted a female camera tech for him to give a kiss to and a rose. Was it obviously fake? It was, but it still works to a certain extent. By the way, Jerry Lawler's back, and for the people who were writing me saying, I thought you said Lawler was, you know, persona non grata because of his age and because of his health. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. If they were going to do the tapings, he wasn't going to be there. But when they decided they were going to do it live, guess who got the call? You got to come back. So there you go. There's another person who they're just like, oh, well, hope all works out for you. Angel Garza, as far as I'm concerned, is the real deal here. And was the real, he wasn't the star of the entire Raw last night. I would say Drew McIntyre was. But if I could pick out one person other than Drew McIntyre last night who I truly say, look, that person has the charisma to really, really go far in the WWE, it's not Austin Theory. It's not Oney Lorcan. It's not even Aleister Black. I like Aleister Black, but you're only going to go so far, I think, with that gimmick. Garza's the guy. I'm telling you, closest you're going to get to an Eddie Guerrero type. And the WWE has literally been salivating to try to get another Eddie Guerrero type since his untimely death. All we've ever heard is we want another Eddie Guerrero type. We need another sort of Eddie Guerrero type. We need somebody who can potentially at least fill that gap. If not be as good as him, at least fill that void. Well, you got him, as far as I'm concerned. You got him. Now you got to take care of him, though. And Garza looked fantastic. And you know, I give full credit to his opponent, too. That move they did where they both jumped at the same time and Garza hits the sort of a mule kick drop kick, the front drop kick. That looked awesome. It's like something out of the Matrix. And I just said to myself, I wish there was an audience there, because I know the pop that would have got, and I know the reaction Garza would have given the audience from that. And that would have gotten sold a hell of a lot better in front of a big crowd, Mike.
It really would. And look, this is a guy that if this whole thing had not happened, this whole virus thing had not had happened, there's a good chance that within 6 months he's a face. You know?
Yeah.
Because of how he plays to the camera, plays to the crowd, and you know there's gonna be a number of women in any crowd, in any city, that's gonna want to get a kiss from him, you know?
Yeah.
You know that, right? So yeah. So at some point they would have had to. Now they can now without this thing not happening with the crowd, maybe they can making them a face until they really exhaust this AAA faction, you know.
Yeah, and again, the Eddie Guerrero comparison. When Eddie Guerrero was a heel, he was a heel but people sort of liked him because he didn't do anything so terribly egregious. He was cocky. He cheated, but he openly admitted he cheated. And he took kind of delight in it, and it was kind of more of a mischievous attitude than a straight up evil. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what Garza has. He has more of that mischievous, I bent the rules a little bit, so what? I see how fans can get behind that. That's very Eddie Guerrero-like. Garza's got this nailed because he's a multi-generational wrestler. He's grown up in the business. He gets it. He gets it 100%. Hopefully, the WWE gets it and says, you know, if we handle him right, which I think they're doing, because, again, they didn't throw him to the wolves with Aleister Black, and that should have been the logical choice to face Aleister Black. So they didn't throw him to the wolves there. So maybe they're saying, hold back on Garza. We want to see where we're going with this. And to give him a prop in the form of a female camera operator, that they I don't think they do that to a guy who they're just like, yeah, we don't care about the guy. We don't see much in him. So I think that the WWE probably sees what we see, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Garza there, he got the Eddie Guerrero thing in him. And he's going to be doing some of the cheating in matches, cheating steal thing.
Yeah, I see that so much in him. Anyway, Kairi Sane marches off to war against Nia Jax. Oy. I imagine Kairi Sane is gone. I imagine she's gone. I mean, here is arguably, at least in the top 5 or 6, actual female wrestlers in their roster, and she just gets squashed by Nia Jax. And it is what it is, you know. It is what it is. Not much to say here, except that I imagine Kairi Sane is done and wrapping up her WWE tenure. Asuka, on the other hand, has publicly stated that she's extremely happy in the WWE. She likes the lifestyle. She likes the way she's being used. There's no reason not to like it. She's been treated really good by the WWE, to say the least. So we're probably why we're seeing the push of Asuka and the non-push of Kairi Sane. Bobby Lashley, No Way Jose. What's the big takeaway from this? That he yelled at Lana? You know, this has got to be the worst gimmick you guys have ever come up with. The worst one. And I remember when Rusev said, oh, everybody doesn't understand. This is a great gimmick. I love this gimmick. It's going to help everybody. Who did it help? Did it help you? Where the hell are you? You haven't even signed a contract, and maybe you're not going to. WWE said, oh, I know the fans are a little disgruntled with this, but wait till you see how Rusev's going to come out looking. Yeah, how did he come out looking? How'd Bobby Lashley come out looking? How's Lana coming out looking? Who is this helping? it's such a great gimmick. You're already ready to bail because you know this isn't working at all. Not at all. So, Mike, this is just one more example of, ah, hell, we blew it. Let's get rid of this angle as quick as possible.
Right. And look, it's worked out so well that, you know, Rusev's ended up shaving his head, you know. That's how well it's worked out. You know, I mean, really, you never should have cut the whole Rusev Day gimmick off, you know, off at the heels. I mean, at one point, if you remember, at one point, it was so into it, the fans were so into it that she was getting the rub from it, and we were getting things like Lana Day.
Yes. Yeah, we were.
Lana number one, Lana Day, and stuff like that. And that's what we were getting. And, again, that was all because she was getting the rub off of Rusev. Cut it off at the knees.
Yeah, well, let me tell you exactly what this was. This was Rusev's contract's coming up. Let's put him in a gimmick that makes him look horrible, that makes him look absolutely pathetic, that makes him look like a total loser, a wimp, a coward, helpless, hopeless. And at the end of light at the end of the tunnel is we'll dangle the carrot of, but Rusev, if you re-sign your contract, you'll get your revenge plus, and you'll come out looking like $1 million. All you got to do is sign on the dotted line. That was leverage from the WWE. We can put you in a gimmick that no one will ever want to see your face again because you'll look so pathetic. But don't worry, because we got you totally rehabbed if you re-sign the contract. It'll make Lashley look ridiculous. You'll get Lana back. The whole thing's going to come full circle. All you got to do is re-sign. And Rusev said, I don't know if I want to re-sign. So then they were like, well, we don't know what to do now, because we really didn't count on this. Lashley wasn't going to stay with Lana. So now what do we do? Well, you get rid of him, I guess. It's not going to work. Now maybe Rusev will come back. Maybe she'll run back to her ex. Maybe that's what they got in mind. This is just it's a disaster. It was a disaster from Jump Street. It's a disaster now. And No Way Jose is another guy that, I mean, you want to talk about the very definition of Jabron. He doesn't get to use any of his skill, none, zero. Viking Raiders versus Ricochet and Cedric Alexander was obviously the match of the night. Both teams did a really good job. The only problem here is that if you really want to promote Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, they can't lose two out of three of their matches. And we already knew that with the Viking Raiders returning to action, they weren't going to lose. So what we got here is Alexander and Ricochet being that we're a really good team who gives everybody a really, 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 really good fight, but we're just not on the top of the chain. That's going to be their lot in life. And the more Cedric Alexander talks about being unhappy, the more the WWE says, you're the one taking a pinfall. So my recommendation would be that Cedric Alexander shut up about being unhappy, or you're going to get more of this. And unfortunately, that rub is going to rub off on Ricochet too. So it was a great match, Mike, but I guess if you're a Ricochet fan, you got to be kind of concerned, because this doesn't look like it's going to work out that great. It looks like they're going to be that mid-level tag team who gives everybody a good fight but comes up short.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, here's the deal. You know, if he wants to leave, if Alexander really wants to leave, he should shut up. He should shut up. You know, because just because you make it a point to say you want to leave doesn't mean they're going to either use you right, use you at all, or use you in a correct way and let you go. You know, I mean, right. We've seen that, you know, we've seen them actually pay guys not to wrestle, you know, see Ted DiBiase, you know, so he needs to, Cedric Alexander, we know you want to go and possibly go to AEW and be with your wife or girlfriend or whatever she is, you know, big swole. But we know you want to do that. Just shut up. All right, just shut up.
Yeah, I agree. You got to shut up because it's making your tenure in there even worse than it is. Now, the Shayna Baszler backstage interview was much more interesting than her match with Sarah Logan, who Sarah Logan I feel sorry for. Because I must be in the minority, and so must Mike, and so must Todd, because all three of us have said we see something in Sarah Logan. And the WWE obviously does not. I mean, she didn't just get beat. She got hammered, crushed, destroyed. She didn't get a shot in. And that's just pathetic, because Sarah Logan is just way better than this. You are missing the boat on Sarah Logan. As a matter of fact, and I'm not taking anything away from her, but if you told me Sarah Logan or Liv Morgan, which one do you push? I'm going with Sarah Logan, and it's not even close. It's not even close. But the interesting thing about this match was backstage when the interviewer said, "What do you think about the comments of your friend Ronda Rousey?" Which, that does it. That is absolutely now a work. I don't care who told me. I don't think it's a work. Even the wrestlers aren't taking it as a work. I'm pretty sure this is legit. Bullshit. That's a work. Because there's no way the WWE is going to incorporate that into any storyline, any interview segment, anything, and further poke a stick at wrestlers who are already unhappy that you're going live. See, that's the thing. These wrestlers are already upset. So now you're going to say, oh, and guess what? We're going to turn the Ronda Rousey thing where she insulted all of you into an angle, and we're going to reiterate it. The wrestlers will be like, fuck you. There's not one of us here is going to lose to her. Fire us then. So I already know now that this is a work. Is it a good work? No, it's a terrible work because Ronda's not coming back for a year. So I don't know why you want to work somebody for a year. It's already out now. The cat's out of the bag, by the way. So all of the work that she did do is finished because any idiot knows that if you're bringing it up on your show, it wasn't a shoot. There's no way on earth they would try to undermine them statements and say, well, she was misinterpreted. That's not really what she meant. They'd be trying to work damage control. They wouldn't be trying to use it. And now more than ever, I'm starting to think to myself, wait a minute. I see why they're doing it. It's not to fight Becky Lynch. It might be to fight Shayna Baszler. They might flip Baszler because Baszler didn't say she agreed with her. And maybe this is what's going to break the camel's back is Baszler's going to say, I don't know what the fuck you think. But I've been in the other side of that octagon, honey. And if you think this is fake or you think this is easy or you think whatever, step up. Maybe that's what this is going to come to because there's no way on earth they bring this up, Mike, if this was legit. No way.
Absolutely not. You know, and that's the thing. If this was legit. Because, look, here's the deal. You've got other people in this company that are former you know MMA people. I mean, for heaven's sake, on the other brand we got one, you know.
Yep.
Now we got to talk about the match though, but because it was a weird ending.
Yeah,
you know,
considering the ring announcer
whole,
gave the wrong ending.
That whole move that looked like she either dislocated her shoulder or broke her arm or whatever, but Sarah Logan won the match.
Well, she didn't, as it turns out. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. They recorrected it and said the ring announcer called the wrong winner. Shayna Baszler goes on. She wins the match. It was a mistake by the ring announcer. Can you believe that?
Jeez.
I mean,
that guy needs to be fired.
That's pathetic. That's pathetic. How can you possibly? It's on a card. It's written on a card, you moron. It's written on a card. It's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I got to tell you, though, it happened to me once. It actually happened to me once in a federation I was working for where the ring announcer just... Actually, it was a referee. Referee declares, there's no winner. Well, that's not the way it was supposed to go, my friend. You can't declare it. I don't know what the hell happens to people sometimes. They just have a mental breakdown or something. How the hell does the ring announcer say Sarah Logan won the match? Based on what? She couldn't continue. She wasn't disqualified. The referee didn't disqualify her. Problems all night long, though. They cut off one of Seth Rollins' backstage segments. By the way, let me tell you something. And I'm not kidding, WWE. This is not the time to have Seth Rollins say something like, I have risen. I've been reborn. This is not the time. Not when churches are going crazy because they can't go in and worship. Not when you do not want the optics with everything else that's going around that you're trying to feed off and satirize religion here. You wouldn't let Bray Wyatt, when Bray Wyatt said the word devil one time, you went nutso. You went nuts. Don't ever say that again. Never mention the word devil. We have sponsors. They don't want anything like that, anything too deep and dark and whatever. Don't, no. Seth Rollins can allude to being Jesus risen like on Easter? He can do that? I don't like it. And I don't like the new character, by the way, where now he's like all kind of like dark. He's just doing he's basically doing a Bray Wyatt thing, other than he just thinks he's been reborn. I'm reborn. You're reborn. Reborn is what? You lost to Kevin Owens. And now all of a sudden you're going to take on Drew McIntyre. We're supposed to believe you can beat Drew McIntyre when you can't beat Kevin Owens. This is the problem with this booking nonsense. If that's where the WWE is going to go, I'm all for it. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre sounds great. Then Seth Rollins has to win at WrestleMania, regardless of what we say, regardless of what Kevin Owens thinks, regardless of what the fans say. If that's your next number one contender, he's got to win. You can't come up with some idea, well, he'll lose, but then we'll do this thing where he's reborn and he's even darker and weirder. No, because that doesn't work, because he just lost his last match. So, no, that doesn't work. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. So you blew it. Now the Seth Rollins thing where he's just saying he's looking off into the sky like he's, a cult leader now all of a sudden. Now he's David Koresh. That's not going to work. You had that in Bray Wyatt. You didn't want it. Oh, we don't want that. Can't have a cult leader. That would be too controversial. Can't have him mention religion. That would be too controversial. Seth Rollins can do it. Once again, Mike, I don't get this, and I don't like it.
I don't get this. Or you're trying to give him, Matt Hardy's thing, because that kind of thing is exactly what this broken, woken character would do,
I don't know if he would say he's been reborn and risen right after Easter Sunday, the Monday Night Raw after Easter Sunday. I think this is going to not sit well with some people. And I'm not a religious person, but it rubbed me the wrong way because I'm saying, I think you're getting into some territory where you better not go down a certain route. Because if you do, you're going to have to go all the way with it, and you're not going to want to go all the way with it, and then you're going to half-ass it again. See, that's what you did with Bray Wyatt. You said, okay, we're going to do this cult leader thing, and then when it got push came to shove, and you said, we got to do some things. Oh, we don't want to do that. That might be going too far. Okay, well, then you never should have started it. Because once you start the ball rolling, you have to continue to let it gather steam. And I know the WWE don't want to go where this needs to go to be right. I know they don't. So don't do it at all, then. Just don't do it. Because you're going to do it half-assed and it's not going to work. Now, at the end, once again, if you want any clues, if you're a Garza fan and you're saying, like I am, I hope the WWE sees something in him. If you want any other clues, when Drew McIntyre went outside the ring to beat up the crew, he didn't touch Garza. He beat up Austin Theory. Before Seth Rollins hit the ring, who took out Drew McIntyre? Angel Garza. They're giving Garza the prime spots, which means, Todd, I think they do see what we see in him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this, everything's going on with the WWE.
Let me ask you this. Were you shocked that Seth Rollins came out with right after Easter and basically played the Jesus card and said, I've been reborn and risen?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I mean, you know, I was shocked, Mike. I just don't think that – I think that's a mistake because they're not going to want to go where they need to go to make this work right.
Right. This is still the PG WWE.
Right.
And that would be somewhat of a PG-13 angle, you know. And I don't think they want to even touch a PG-13 angle, you know.
Not involving
the
religion,
stuff
they've
had.
They do, no.
No, no. I mean, even they really haven't done anything with the whole angle with Aleister Black. And that's a PG gimmick. That's a PG-13 gimmick.
Right, that's a good point. Yeah, they didn't touch too much into Aleister Black's real persona either, Mike, and that's the reason. But think about this. Now, the WWE has been declared an essential business at a time when they're telling churches, even drive-through services, you can't operate. The WWE then waves the middle finger in their face and says, church isn't essential, but WWE is. F you. And oh, by the way, one of our performers are going to say he's risen and has been reborn the day after Easter. You're going to run the risk of pissing off some of the religious organizations, I think, Mike.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, that's what they're doing. They're pissing them off. And really, you don't want to piss them off. I mean, when religious organizations or religious people get involved with TV type stuff,
right,
you get things like parent TV
yep.
conference or whatever it's called. That's what you get, you know. And they don't want to have anything to do with that type of stuff, I would think.
No, you don't want to go there. Listen, Paul E. learned his lesson, didn't he? Do you remember in ECW where the Sandman was crucified and they put the crown of thorns on his head with a barbed wire, and even hardcore fans who used to cheer for people's blood went nuts? Went nuts. And according to Raven, Taz threatened to beat him up. Taz said, don't you ever dare make fun of my religion again. Who the fuck do you think you are? Why don't you use your own damn religion? To which I guess Raven, who's Jewish, said, well, I couldn't put him on a Star of David. He would have rolled away. But the bottom line of the situation is, yeah, you can't have that. Because I'm telling you, people get sensitive about that, and it's not going to work. If you can't portray somebody as obviously a Satanist, because you're afraid if you do mention Satanism or the devil, religious people are going to get upset, well, then don't mock Christianity. Because I'm telling you right now, you don't want to go down that road. You do not, especially right now, you do not want to go down that road. It's not the way to go. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not worth it for a Drew McIntyre-Seth Rollins feud when Seth Rollins has already lost to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens should be the number one contender, no? Having said that, though, the following things were good about this show. A, I'm glad to see Jerry Lawler back, even though I'm so nervous about his health, because he adds so much to the show. B, Oscar was fabulous again. I thought that the tag team match was exceptional, really, really good, and deserving of a crowd, unfortunately. Garza was fantastic. Garza's a superstar, period. Andrade was good, as always. Drew McIntyre is really coming into his own as a face, and I got news for you. I know he's on another brand, but Roman Reigns better watch his back, because Drew McIntyre could very easily end up being the face of this company. He's articulate. He makes a good appearance. He knows what to say and what not to say. He knows how to represent. You better watch out. Because if Roman thinks it's in the bag that I'm the face of this company, I'm going to be the guy who goes on all the shows and speaks and represents, Drew McIntyre's breathing down your neck with this, and he's real good at it. Real good at it. So there were good things on this show, and I loved the fact that they not only alluded to but played up the actual history of Drew McIntyre and Andrade. I thought that was fabulous. I thought it was great that they solidified that AAA group. I thought that was really, really good. So there were some really positive things on this show. The negatives are Sarah Logan gets thrown to the wolves and then is declared the winner by an inept ring announcer who I guess can't read off a card. We get, unfortunately, the squashing of Kairi Sane, but if she's leaving, what are you going to do? You're not going to promote her if she's leaving, so it is what it is. I don't like the Seth Rollins thing. I think this is a mistake. I think you're going down the wrong road with him. I'd hit the brakes on this quick. I don't care one bit about the Lashley thing. The quicker you get this over with, just get it over with. And you better watch what you're doing with Aleister Black, or he's going to be one of these higher mid-card guys for the rest of his life, because that's the way he's starting to feel to me. So I'm going to give this a B-. I think there was more good than bad. And I'm totally, taking away the fact that the WWE is going live, and I hate that and think it's wrong. I'm just rating it on the show. I think it was a B-minus show. I think there was more good than bad. And I think even the bad, which definitely was obviously the Shayna Baszler thing, which was a total mistake, and burying Sarah Logan, and maybe not giving Ruby Riott the credit she deserves, and a couple other things. It wasn't egregiously horrible. Considering there's no crowd and considering the strain that's being put on everybody, I thought they actually performed pretty well. So I'm going B-. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to go ahead and go B-. As well. I tell you what, you look at Sarah Logan and you look at Kairi Sane, and you take them and you put them in AEW, and that division becomes a very good division with those two women, And look, I wouldn't put it past that after her contract runs out, that after Sane's contract runs out, that she might not go back to Japan. She might end up in AEW.
I mean, she could. She's expressed interest in going back to her old federation, and I know they openly have said they want her. And her husband does wrestle down there, so it's probably a pretty strong possibility she's heading to Japan. But if they were able to woo her away, that would be a tremendous pickup. Tremendous pickup. As far as Sarah Logan's concerned, somebody got to wake up. Somebody's got to press the wake up button on them and say, wait a minute, you're trying to promote people like Dana Brooke and other people. Sarah Logan actually performs better if you just let her be who she is. I'm not sure I like this Viking thing all that much, but like I said, she originally came in with the Riott Squad as this sort of a country, scrapper with a mean attitude, and that's the girl I think you probably could promote. I would definitely sit her down and say, how married, no pun intended, because she's married to the guy from the Viking Raiders, how married are you to this gimmick? Would you be adverse to trying a different one if it meant giving you a push? And I bet you she'd say, no, absolutely. And I think you might want to give her a little bit different look, give her a little bit different gimmick, and set her loose out there, because she looks good when she fights. You don't even let her get in a punch. So there's no way for you to tell. But I remember the Sarah Logan fighting in the Riott Squad and saying to myself, Ruby Riott's the blue chipper, but she's not far behind. She's really coming up fast. And then all of a sudden you just stomp the brakes on her. And for the life of me, I don't know why. Anyway, Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you guys, a B-.
So all three of us B-. Look, it wasn't actually a pretty good show. We're starting to see some continuity. We're starting to see some storylines building and not just a muddled, thrown-together show, which is good. But we're also starting to see the pecking order And there are mistakes that I think the WWE can't make. You can't throw somebody to the wolves at WrestleMania and then the following second week after WrestleMania, he's the number one contender. Can't do that. You can't have a guy take out Bobby Lashley and relatively easily and then almost lose 14 times to Oney Lorcan. That's a problem. I don't think you can let Shayna Baszler just squash everybody in the division after she's already lost. I know you want to rebuild her. But don't rebuild her at the expense of somebody you probably could use. You could have brought somebody up from NXT you weren't using. You did it with the guys, didn't you? Who'd you throw, to the wolves for Angel Garza? Bring in some woman from NXT you're not using and let Shayna Baszler squash her. Why Sarah Logan? These are things you could have done. And truthfully, I would have loved to have seen a double count out in that tag team match, because then I would have said, well, they might use Alexander and Benjamin. I mean, this was the Viking Raiders' return, and they didn't win. They didn't lose, but they didn't win. So that means that they got, you know, Ricochet and there with the – well, Ricochet didn't lose. Alexander lost. But they got Ricochet and Alexander right up there with the Viking Raiders. They're going to be a top team. That's what my feel would have been if there was no conclusion to this match. But there was. So 2 out of 3 matches between Ricochet and Cedric Alexander and whoever, they've lost. So they're 1 for 3. They got a 33% win ratio. That's mid-card. And that's a shame because I think this team could be really, really good, actually. I think you could have something with them. So there's some negativity. The Seth Rollins thing, I don't like. I think you're going to regret this if you continue down this I am Jesus road. I mean, you've already pushed the buttons and given them the stained glass Seth Rollins t-shirt. That was, it's okay. But to say you've risen, the Monday Night Raw after Easter Sunday, you're treading on some dangerous territory. And again, if you're committed to this and say we're going the whole nine yards with this, okay, then I'm all for it. I mean, I come from the ECW attitude of do it. If it's crazy and it's even offensive, go for it. That's what wrestling's supposed to be, but you're not going to do it. And you know you're not going to do it. You know you're going to pull back on it. So why even tease it? Why open up the can of worms if you have no intention of spilling them out? That's the problem. And the WWE has no intention of spilling them out. I promise you that. So let me just in closing say this. In the next couple of days, there's going to be fallout. There's going to be huge fallout from the WWE's decision to go live. There already is, but there's going to be more. You better cross your fingers, WWE, that not one person, not a camera tech, not a ring announcer, not a timekeeper at the bell, and certainly not an in-ring talent, comes down with this coronavirus or you're done. You have now put your eggs all in one basket, and you place that basket on a very, very rocky table. I think it was a very dumb idea. Very dumb. As far as this other thing is concerned with the stocks, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be some lawsuits pending. The world ever does get back to normal, you're going to be staring down the barrel of going back to Saudi Arabia and opening up more NXT stuff in China and doing that. This is, I'm telling you, the optics for the WWE has an all-time low. I can exaggerate it a little bit and say I could potentially see someone looking at this saying the WWE thinks they're better than everybody else. They're saying, F you stay home in your hovel, you lowly little whatevers. How dare you want to go out and worship at church? How dare you want to go out and have fun? How dare you walk into a grocery store without a suit of armor? How dare you want to go to the park and play basketball? But we can wrestle. Because we're better than you. We're essential. We're the elite, to borrow the AEW phrase. We don't follow the rules you follow. The diseases that you get, we don't get. You're the peasants. We're the kings. Sit back and enjoy. And by the way, worship us for doing it because we're doing it for you. Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. Mike, I just think the optics of this is going to hurt the WWE for years and years to come.
You know, they're starting to believe what Triple H's entrance is. I'm the king of kings. I am the game. You know? That's what they're starting to believe their own hype, you know? And that's the thing. And you know those lawsuits from that fire department or whatever it is coming. You know that's coming, right? So that's gonna happen. After him doing what he did. Now, will it lead to anything? I don't know. But it's gonna happen. So yeah. And like I said, originally AEW didn't seem to be handling it correctly, but after all is said and done, well, they're coming up almost smelling like a rose, NWA Power and some of the rest of them. They're coming up smelling like a rose, and the WWE is coming up smelling like they've been in a field behind a cow, you know.
Well, leave it to the WWE. I mean, here's AEW who blew it. And the WWE's response could have been, well, we would never put our talent in jeopardy like that. We would never think about it. I thought AEW said they were talent first, and we were so horrible to our talent, but we would never do that. And they could have driven the nail into AEW and said, oh, look at the hypocrites, right? They could have done that. No, instead, WWE says, hold my beer. We're going to not only erase all of the hypocrisy that AEW actually did do for the last couple of weeks, we're going to surpass it so much they actually look rational again. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's unbelievable. They literally gave AEW a pass when they could have driven that stake through their heart and said, okay, now you're doing it, but look what you did before. We were ahead of the game. We did it before you. Nope. They fell right into that trap, and now they look like, I don't even want to tell you what they look like. And that's why the WWE talent is upset. Because they know what they look like, too. They know what they look like. And then on top of it, you know, like I said, if you're a guy like Daniel Bryan, who's got a pregnant wife and he can't take the chance, every time he wrestles, if it's live, let's say he wrestles Friday live, 14 more days of quarantine. So 7 days goes by, and they say, hey, Daniel, we need you again Friday. Okay, well, the 14 days starts again on Saturday. When does it end? How about if they do this for a month? And then, so a month and 14 days. So for 45 days, this man's not going to be able to, and he's already not seen his wife for 12. So for 2 months, he can't see his wife, his pregnant wife, because the WWE has decided that's more important. When's Roman Reigns going to get to come back? He ain't coming back anytime soon if they're going to do these live shows like this. This is insanity. And then to rub it in everyone's face by having the governor declare them an essential business, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Had you managed somehow to say, well, the governor's made an exception for the WWE for a month because of the strict regulations involved in going in and out of that building and the very, very limited amount of people that will be there, and because it's always going to be the same people, basically, and that they're not really traveling far. There's a hotel within practically walking distance of there they're all staying in. This will be an exception, a very, very rare exception. Then I would have said, well, okay, you know, picks aren't great, but it's better. But when the governor just comes out and says, well, they're an essential business, please tell that to the poor guy who's losing his freaking business as we speak because you told him he can't open it. How are you going to justify that? And how do you think that guy's going to look at the WWE and say, this is a billion-dollar company filled with millionaires? They could sit on their ass for a year and still have all the money in the world. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent in two months. This is not good. It was a bad move, and it was a bad political move, by the way, for the governor, because there is absolutely no way to justify this. You look like the biggest grease-my-palm politician in the world at this point. And every time the WWE has Stephanie McMahon come out there and say, because we care so much about our fans, and you've been so loyal and wonderful, we realize in this hard time, you poor, poor peons, who are huddled in your basement with your last loaf of bread and your last half a roll of toilet paper, need hope. Need idols to look up to. We will sacrifice. I'm going to throw the fuck up. Man up and tell the truth. We can't not go live, because if we do, we will violate our contract with Fox. We will violate our contract with USA, and they will be able to either pay us less or consider the contract void. So we are in an emergency situation. We can't lose millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars if they decide that we violated the terms of the contract, because that's why you did it. And if you say one more time, it's for the lonely people huddled in their basement worried about dying, I'm never going to watch it again. Knock it off. You realize the stress this country's under? And you're going to sit there and lie to us like we're a bunch of goddamn babies who don't know the truth? I'm tired of it. I'm watching YouTube, and I'm watching all these shoot interviews with wrestlers saying, well, you know, fans are, you know how fans are. When they're telling horror stories about some dumb fan who did something to them. Well, you know, most wrestling fans. Well, what the fuck are you talking about? Then get out of the business. The fans so much, and you think they're stupid, and you think they all live in their mother's basement, and you think none of them are educated, and you think none of them are equal to you, and you think none of them have a clue to what they're talking about. Why do you perform for them? Here's the facts. And if you're a wrestler, get real close to whatever the hell you're listening to this on. They're smarter than you. The fans are smarter than you. And the problem is, you don't like that. You liked it better when the fans were a bunch of yokels who came out and said, that damn guy is a redneck. I hate that guy. He's a Ruski. And you could get away with it, but you can't get away with it now. Everybody's woke up. Everybody, the internet has called you bluff. We all know what you are. We all know what you do. We all know the situation, and you don't like it. Because now you're going to be held to a different standard. And if anyone thinks I'm stupid, or anyone thinks I don't know what I'm talking about, call me up, man. Call me up. Some of these wrestlers can call me up. Let's have a debate about how stupid fans are. Shall we do that? Let's have a debate. Problem is, they're smarter than you, and they're smarter than Vince, and they're smarter than the people in the WWE who think when they get on there with that pathetic story, everyone swallows it. Obviously, the vast majority of wrestling fans know exactly why you've done this, because you don't want to violate your contracts. So could you just be honest? I mean, I'd have more sympathy if you came out and said, we're in a very bad situation, and we have to go live, because if we don't go live, you know who that would put the emphasis on? USA Network and Fox, because then USA Network and Fox would be the bad guys, and people would say, how come you're not allowing them to hold more tape shows? By making them stick to every single rule of this contract, you're risking people's lives, and you don't care. That would be on USA, and that would be on Fox. Not on the WWE, because the WWE would say, well, what can we do? They're holding our feet to the fire. They would be the victim. No, WWE decides to make themselves the bad guys by lying about why they're doing it. It's absolutely pathetic. We'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a
Savage Blade production.